When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
Found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Now let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Well, North Bay Station Jacks, I'm Tom Al. We have Greg Pappas in studio. We also have Matt Byrne will be on the board in a second. S&P futures are up 28, and S&P is up 78 as we try to come back from Friday's devastating losses in the market. Friday, wow, it was pretty much horrible all day. We're not much coming back on the close either. Dow was down 748. S&P down 104, NASDAQ down 438, that was over 2%, 2.2%, everything was down, gold was down, you name it. The only thing up was the VIX made it up to over 18, which it hasn't been in a while. That's interesting.
COVID fears,
some kind of fears, there are all kinds of fears. I mean, we've got all kinds of international
stuff. The lady from Wuhan.
People getting laid off, we got, I'm not so sure that's a big fear, but... We have an administration that is doing stuff differently, and we have a...
I don't know. I'm part of a decent-sized trading firm. Everybody was panicked yesterday about that the bat lady from Wuhan Institute of Virology's report.
What did she say? I saw a little bit of that.
Yeah. They were saying how they found a new coronavirus vector, meaning kind of what they said before, in that bats can transmit to humans. Well, they found one of those, so...
Except the last one, that didn't happen.
Yeah, it didn't happen, but now they published the report that said it was a thing. So, or it is a thing now that I don't know, I'll put it in the show links.
Well, you know, from what I understand, me being not a, whatever they call those guys, that's sort of how I knew had a suspicion. You never really know anything in this world.
Animal-to-human transmission is...
Well, yeah. The one before that was it SARS? One of those things. Pretty quickly, they found it went from bats to camels to people. For some reason, stuff as of yet doesn't go directly from bats to people.
Well, that was the report. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, it usually goes through another animal for some reason.
Yeah.
Because before it was... God, what was the one like years ago? It went from bats to... Was it birds? It somehow it goes... So there's... this is why, you know, this is why people from... I won't say people like you or Matt. Goofy tourists. So, and what's the nasty-ass river in China? Is it the Yangtze or something? It's like the Congo and...
Sounds right.
Anyway, there's places in there where they have these caves. But, you know, nobody in their right mind would go in, but... People actually like paddle into the thing to see them, and there's these bats just like kind of hanging upside downs in the places where all these diseases. If they just stay there, or nobody goes and bothers them, it's usually not an issue. But there's people that go in there and get like a bat bite or something. Anyway, that wouldn't be.
Whoops.
Yeah, that wouldn't be me. What did Matty Weber used to say? I'm not going to die from parachuting. I'm not going to die from swimming in the ocean by a shark. There's a few ways I'm just not going to do it. Me going into a bat cave is probably one of them. For me.
Yeah. I don't know. Sounds like the start of a horror movie.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or where they open up the bottle from the 1800s with the plague or something. And
well, a lot of the stuff, though, is you start having a market that is traditionally higher than normal. I say in terms of PPE, in terms of certainly in terms of revenue times, revenue per share in some stocks. Things really have to be sort of perfect to go forward, which isn't to say they can't.
Right.
But like when you say, when all of a sudden you get a you know, something like you talked about, I mean, we're talking about some companies have pretty seriously high PEs and stuff in areas that you wouldn't even begin to think they would. You know, in retails, I mean, I'll just dig out a couple here, and this is not any sort of a, you know, any sort of a, don't sell these things, because if you have in the last few years, you get carried out the other way. But even stuff like Costco and Home Depot, I mean, their PEs are really high for retail, for traditional high retailers. And, you know, it just, Microsoft, same thing. Costco Wholesale Corp, here we go. I mean, where we got their PE? PE is 62.7. They do a great job. They've continued to grow. Love the company. But really, Greg, what do you think? 63?
Maybe they might triple here instead of quadruple.
Yeah, you talk about Home Depot. I mean, can Home Depot's revenue really double? I mean, I guess they can raise prices. Same thing with the Microsoft. I mean, Microsoft is up there as well. Let me see.
There was a lot of people on the internet last week talking about the comparison between the Microsoft CEO and the Google CEO, and how Microsoft has really taken positions and leads and tried to set the standard rather than going along with the status quo. Is what the Google's consensus was, where, you know, don't rock the boat versus, oh, we're going to take the lead on these data centers, we're going to do AI. And there was a big comparison. And I think the consensus was that you'd rather have the Microsoft guy. So,
well,
if
I
that
think
means anything.
I also think over the years, this is just, again, one man's opinion, that if we took, you know, Elon Musk instead of, you know, firing people in the outer office, sent them after some of these big companies on some antitrust stuff, which, of course, he would never do because that's what he does. I'm going to say over the last 20 years, Microsoft's one of the biggest monopolists there are.
The biggest mob boss?
Monopolist.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly in terms of, now that you can only rent stuff, you can't buy. I mean, all those things are really, let's just say they're dubious under the laws. I mean, I got these guys at a 33 PE. That company's awful big for a 33 PE. And you know, how are they going to, how do they double, for God's sake?
The case is they take over the power market, too.
Yeah.
So to double dip on both the AI and have the power generation. So,
but they were, didn't they, I think it was them. Was it them or was it Apple? I think it was Microsoft. One of the two. You remember this from about before COVID, when the cloud was, instead of saying COVID every, or instead of saying AI every 30 seconds on the air, they would say cloud, right? It was just as bad as the AI. Our cloud, oh God, the cloud. And 10 years ago...
Well, you know, now AI is on the cloud.
Well, okay, but I'm saying,
oh, yeah,
before that it was China, mm, China. I mean, if you weren't doing something in China, you were trapped liver, right?
And before that it was Japan.
Oh, yeah. Right? Well, I don't know, a long time ago, Japan, but...
80s, Japan.
Yeah.
90s, 2000s, China.
China.
Now the...
Well, there was somebody... I think, like I said, I'm 80% sure it's Microsoft. If somebody thinks something, it turns out it was Apple. Zip in at me here. I think up in, is it Schaumburg or someplace, they were building a spot that was going to be this massive data centers. And they were going to take more power than like the entire village of Schaumburg or something from this place. I mean, it was so massive. And there were supposed to be, I'm going to say, Kevin will probably know this. I'm going to say there were going to be like, somewhere between 5 and 10 all around the country. And for some reason, the Chicago one, I don't know, because of the central location or what, was going to be the first. I don't think that thing was ever finished, and I don't think any of the others were ever built. I don't know. Maybe the one up in Schaumburg was finished, but all of a sudden, the cloud thing just, we don't need all this stuff. mean, we don't need all, you know, the heat the thing generates. We don't need all this power. We found a way to do it a lot less. And I wonder if, you know, Carl's...
And over the weekend, or last week, they did the fusion in France, right?
Oh, I didn't see that. That's cool.
Yeah, they did it for like 20 or 22 minutes. So, well, another step forward. Not exactly.
If there's some way of doing some sort of... what's the one Carl's always talking about? The nuclear where you use sodium instead of water?
Oh, the modular reactors?
Yeah.
The small one? Molten salt?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are cool, too. That's what China's doing.
You know, there's a lot of stuff we could get out on the edge of here, you know, if we really wanted to, but somehow or another, I don't know if we got people locked into the old stuff or what, but, I mean, it would be nice to have all kinds of power. We didn't have
I mean, it makes more sense to do kind of hydro where it's appropriate, right? Or maybe...
I'm not so sure we have much more of that around. I mean,
like,
well, you can. One of the things you certainly could do that you know is there for the taking. Talk about, there's very little free energy in this world. One of them would be
solar,
tides.
Yeah, so something like a hydro, like dam, tide.
Well, somehow I forget how you'd have to do with the tides. You would have something that just. Spun is the tides went in and out.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you'd go about doing that, but some of that stuff is really... I remember reading about...
It's the moon as a service.
Yeah. I remember reading...
Maybe title that.
They built the Golden Gate Bridge. And for some reason, I don't know if you've ever gone across it, but the...
Do you imagine them charging us for gravity? That's what it is, right?
Somebody could find a way.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure they're going to charge us for the sun or whatever. You know what's the funny thing is when you see people in government that when they see somebody else put a tax on, they almost get start frothing at the mouth. Why didn't they think of that? And they got to do it too.
You think that New York congestion tax is coming here?
I think. Well, didn't the Trump administration say it was they banned it?
Oh. Well. I could see this administration foaming at the mouth to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even though there's no one in the loop. That would be funny.
Boy, you can judge me on this as a youngster. You know, it's funny. I was not that young. I know, but compared to older people. I was talking to one of my buddies who's probably going to come on the show this week. And he's not real happy with the Trump group. And the guy's a psychologist, and he's absolutely convinced that Trump is out there. He's clinical in his mind. But I said, you know, what's so funny is if you listen to the banter from that group, and you listen to the guy here in Chicago, the mayor, if you don't have any opinion, and you're just in the middle, which I try and be to so I can sort of make a judgment on both sides, they sound exactly the same.
See, that's where your job stinks. You have to listen.
Yeah.
It's great.
But, I mean, they all are so driven with their own ideas, they don't listen. And they both are trying to drive people to not think any other way but theirs.
Well, as a non-listener.
But, I mean, in terms of the ideas are totally opposite, right? Yet the idea they can drive them into you. These guys are having... You see what... Trump is doing the FBI and all these other places. Everybody doesn't agree with him. He wants out.
Okay?
He wants tossed. But now this guy, he has a group now. What the hell's the name of it? They put together a group of people that are going to kind of investigate any kind of Facebook or whatever of all the policemen. And they're going to try and purge the police department of people that don't have Chicago's ideas.
Well,
it's the same thing. It's not my America.
You have your people.
But I mean, it's not my America.
Yeah, it's the extreme version of everybody's America.
But we're
peak America.
But the idea is if somebody shows up and is a solid policeman all day long, what do you care whether he's Catholic or whether he's or atheist or whatever? What difference does it make? As long as he does what he's supposed to do when he's there, why do you have to figure out some deep dark? It's like both sides are it's something like you're doing for a dictator. The both sides are the same. Where do these people learn to do this stuff? Nobody ever do this kind of crap that I know of. I mean, I think it's
peak America in that you get your people, you do it your way, and it's your way or the highway. You know, going back to the
1800s. My stepfather was a kind of a weird duck in a lot of ways, but he taught me a lot about certain things because he was in the Army, He said the Army is really good for people because you learn that you have to function and make a common goal with people you would never be friends with, people you don't even like, and people who don't think like you. But it doesn't matter. You got to get to the common goal together. And he kind of took it with him his whole life. Once when I was a kid, I'd go out to his place sometime during the day. And he always ran the accounting department. He was a controller or whatever, vice president of finance. And you'd walk through his accounting department back in those days. You'd have 15 people out there because you're doing, there's the receivable guys, there's the payable guys. I mean, stuff was done by him.
The lights on.
Yeah, you got to keep the lights on. You walk through there, it was something you would never think you would see in the 60s or early 70s. Every color, every sex. He didn't even care about what you did or who you were, as long as you showed up and you put in a solid 8 hours and got along with everybody in the place for those 8 hours. He never dug into what religion you were or anything like that. He goes, the guy's a good worker. What do I care what he does when he gets home? Unless he's a murderer, but they weren't. But I'm saying, I don't know where we get this part now where we got to purify people to think like we do. First of all, nothing's more unhealthy if everybody thinks the same way, right?
I think they're hypervigilant. They've been backstabbed and competed their way to the top, and they're not interested in anybody who's in their way, in any place.
I find it very boring talking to everybody who thinks exactly like I do on every subject. What's the point? You don't learn anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure learning is high up there on the human nature scale.
Well, it is for me.
Yeah.
Why is that?
You would be in the minority.
Why is that? The funny people talk about how Kevin says Amazon is building cloud places now as well.
Yeah, they have AWS as one of their major revenue drivers.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin. People think you learn so much from like the internet and stuff, which, by the way, you do. If you want to research some stuff, can you even imagine this? If you got a job at like Pullman or Allied Van Lines or something, they'd put you at a desk and you had a phone and you sat there. You had like nothing to do because you didn't have anything to do your first week or two when you were there, right? They might give you some contracts to read and say, you know, catch up on. First thing I did was read the contract on the commuter car contract for Boston and things like that. So there are things you did, but plus nobody knew you, so the phone was never going to ring for a while, right? I mean, once you could call out every couple hours, but if you were on the phone the whole time, they'd say, who the hell is the guy talking to? I mean, but what you could do, once you got rolling for a while, and I was a financial program manager, all the other people on the program, if I didn't have anything to do, I just wander off and land in their office for an hour or two and allegedly be talking about the program. But Pullman had all these guys. They had helicopter engineers. I learned more about the helicopters that went down in Iraq than anybody who wasn't in the Army, for God's sake. Because the two guys there were a couple of the guys that built them. I just went from place to place, and they had all these guys. One guy was a project manager for roads and bridges in Brazil and everything else. I'm reading through some of his stuff. I mean,
if those companies are growing, meaning they actually have space for people and they can mold and shape them into who they want, you know, that's the company you want to be a part of.
Without a doubt, because you learn from the people around you.
A lot of that was here in the, call it, 70s and 80s.
Surely wasn't the financial industry.
Well, the trading floors gave people something to do, meaning you could start from zero and work your way up, and it was just the right place to be because there was a lot of opportunity. So
if you got
a company that can take regular people and shape them into whatever they want and have them learn, then that's a place that's a good place to be.
Well, we're going to learn something this week. You're going to be on, Greg is going to be my wingman. We have, talk about stuff from out of the blue. A gentleman called me up a few weeks ago, and he says, gee, this is his name, which I really didn't remember, unfortunately. And I was on your show once, and I'm like, really? and I sort of remembered, but it was 13 years ago. So, I mean, that's kind of a while. And he said, well, we have a new group we're working with Blair Hall, and I know the name, and I know him. I've talked to him a few times. And he said, well, we have somebody who wants to come on because we have this new thing we're doing, and it's trying to piece together pieces of information, not only of the market, like a technical thing, but what's going on in society and the economy to try and get an edge on whether markets are moving up, down, or whatever.
Yeah, and the whole tactical ETF.
And I am
pretty cool.
Fascinated. I mean,
they are super data-oriented, and I'm sure anything behind whatever the computer is doing at any separate moment is completely tested, back-tested, and AI-tested probably 1,000 times.
Well, I invited, he said, here's a lady who would like to come out, and she's like runs it. And she's got, for God's sake, more degrees. And I am so excited to have her on because I manage money for people all the time, and I do a lot of this stuff. But, I mean, I'm really fascinated because Blair's always been on the leading edge of a lot of the technologies in trading. And I am excited as hell to have her on this week. I think she's coming on either Wednesday or Thursday, but maybe next week. But plus she's got her MBA from University of Chicago, so kind of a kindred spirit. Anyway, and since Greg is more up on this than I am now because he's doing stuff with some of these guys.
Maybe I'll show her my ETF.
I'm sure she'd be happy to see. Maybe she would. You never know.
We can do an ETF off and see who performs
ETF
better.
ETF off. I like that. I'll talk about this a little bit when John's on. We see all this. I don't know. To me, it's. You know what? Why don't we we'll talk about when Jan does come on, but I want you to kind of be hanging around because I had some truck issues, okay? And you know what?
Truck looked good this morning.
You know what? It's running great. All of a sudden, it's purring like a kitten. And you know the weird part is it was what I thought it was the whole time. But anyway, more and more than you need to know. But if you get some of these...
What was it?
Well, if you get some of these, any kind of codes, and you look and see what's the fix for a code. So, if I were to ask you, like, what is... lean something something bank one. Would you have any idea what the hell I was talking about?
Yeah, the fuel is running lean.
Yeah, okay, bank one. And then there's bank two. But there's like 10 things you could have there. And I also was having trouble when I started up for the first 2 or 3 minutes, the RPM's going up and down, up and down. So I get online, there's all these guys talking about it could be the action sensor, it could be this, the mass something something sensor. But a couple of guys said it never really got fixed until I put a new... vacuum of a gasket for the manifold intake, because the car gets a little older, it gets real cold, that thing wants to contract, and you actually get air into the motor through the gasket, and that screws up all your sensors. So, but it's not the first thing you would do.
Is that, I mean, that part itself is pretty cheap, but is that a tough job?
Well, you gotta take the all the stuff on the top off, and you gotta take the two manifold covers off.
So it's probably like two or three hours.
Yeah, easy. So
that sucks.
So it's not what they do first, right? Because the idea is not to throw all 10 possibilities into the thing. But you know what the weird part? It's not a gasket like you and I. Remember when I used to, I put gaskets.
No, it's
on
like
heads.
Long and it looks like one of those soda can things. Yeah.
Yeah, it snaps in. It's not the felt, where you had to make sure when you you put it on there, you took every bolt and. This one turned one time, the next one turned one time, because you got to make sure you put it on all even, or else you tear the thing putting it on. Evidently, this just snaps in, and you can just tighten everything.
Very nice.
But I learned a lot about the place I had to go for my emissions test.
Would that cost you $1,000?
No, it's free. The Illinois test.
No, I'm talking about the replacing the
actually,
gasket.
All the other stuff they did before that with my guy was like $640. They've replaced like 3 or 4 sensors and
yeah,
all that
must
stuff.
Like you.
Well, then when I went back for this, I said, okay, how much more do I owe you for this? And he goes, let me know how it's running.
Maybe he felt bad about it.
When you've known somebody for 40 years, yeah. he's my guy. So he didn't charge me anything for this. But I went to this place out in Homer Glen, I guess it is.
It's a small block Chevy, right?
5.3. So it's a small block, yeah. Small block 8.
Yeah, those are nice.
So I go to the place and I see all these cars outside. Some of your emissions testing, if you don't know now, are being done at mechanics facilities. Because Rauner, because he's all pissed off at the city, our Republican governor a while ago, took all the testing places out of the city just because to punish the city dwellers. How screwed up is that? I mean, come on. Anyway, so he got his place in Homer Glen. The guy brings me in. Of course, I flunk. But the guy's got maybe 25 cars outside, Greg. Inside, it's this massive facility. In my guys, where I go, the guy's got one lift, and you can barely get around inside. This guy must have 15, 20 cars in the facility, 5, 6 lifts, and those things cost. He's got like 2 mechanics walking around. Where's the other 10 guys? You and I, at the beginning of COVID, we should have put our nickels together and got ourselves a real nice repair facility.
Repair, but you said he doesn't have any guys to work in it.
Well, that's the problem, hanging out in mechanics, but if you can find them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal, because the whole dynamic of how people live, and, you know, there's going to be some people say, yeah, nobody else should drive except me kind of thing, but I'm not one of those guys. But the right now, the whole auto dynamic.
Can you do hybrids?
Well, I'm going to say, I'm sure they can do everything. But the point being is, is the people cannot afford a new car. So the what's the average age of a clunker in the street now? 12 years or something?
I think mine is 14. Well, 15.
Mine's 20. But yeah, we say we go to a quick break and then we'll come back with John. I want to talk to him about something else. SP Futures up 30. SP Futures up 9. We're trying to come back from Friday's fiasco. We'll see if we hang in there. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at cognoshr.com. Cognos HR. Innovation in Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois and
Is your online trading career hit a double bottom with no one to talk strategies with? Are commissions eating up all your profits? You need help. You need PTIProDirect.com. Trade stocks for 1 cent a share. Stock options for $1 a contract, all with a $1 minimum per trade for stock and options. That's right, $1, Chuck. And best of all, you get to talk to former option floor traders to fine-tune your trading game plan. So check it out at PTIProDirect.com. That's PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. Greg Pappas in the studio. Matt Byrne on the board as we're talking trucks on break. And we'll see if we go out and get some clunker I saw in California. We went by Scottsdale. We could do that, Greg. We'll stop for a couple of games. We give our Stocks and Jacks report. You think
get
Matt
some
Byrne,
hot dogs.
You think we count on Matt Byrne to host the show for a couple of days? We'll just call in?
Yeah, why not?
Would you show up and do that?
No, we could do a remote show.
Well, could you imagine him and Andrew doing the... Oh, God.
Yes.
Doing the...
Yes.
Well, you know, dial up 294. over in Europe. Again, this is a, this it's the bounce we're looking for, obviously. We don't want to go down 2 days in a row. Like the DAX up 149.7%, FTSE up 9 cents. I'm thinking we can call that one flat, Greg. CAC around down 30.4%. The German election, they got some right-winger dudes in there, so that's probably why they're up. I'm not so sure that's positive, but that's why they're up. Nikkei up at 98.2%, Hang Seng down 136.6%, Shanghai down 6, call that flat. Hang Seng is really up there, though. It's 23,341, so they've had a big run up. Bonds up 2 basis points, 4.44, been stuck right in this range for a while. The Bund up 2 basis points, 2.49, Japan down 1.42. Oil up 9 cents, 70.49. When you're done with this, Greg's going to tell us why the hell is oil, once in a while, we thought it was a breakout at 75 a couple weeks ago. Greg is right back down to the 70 number. Not sure why. Brent up 12 cents, 74.55. Natural gas down 27 cents, 3.96. Gold up 10 bucks, 29.63. Was retreating this morning, and it's come right back. Silver down 13 cents, 32.87. Copper down 2 cents, 4.53. Foreign exchange. The dollar is at 104.62 euro, and it's at 126.36. The euro is actually up a little bit after the German conservative win. Not sure why that would make any difference, but it did, evidently. Crypto, Bitcoin up 192, 95,952. And again, we're chasing on Friday, down 748 in the Dow, 104 in the S&P, NASDAQ down 438. So we're up 92, so we're 20% back so far. What do you have for us, Trevi, Weather Sports?
Yeah, good morning. It's currently 6:39 a.m. on February 24th, 2025. Current weather in Chicago is 40 degrees, and it looks to be cloudy skies with wind at 7 miles per hour and gusts up to 14 miles per hour. Down in Phoenix, we're seeing 50 degrees and wind gusts up to 5 miles per hour. Very warm with plenty of sunshine. As far as what's going on in sports right now, we have a game with Blackhawks and the Maple Leafs yesterday. Blackhawks lost 2-5 in that game. So I got Chief, back to you.
The we have Mr. Flanagan.
We do indeed. Yes.
Well, we're gonna test both of these dudes here. A little sports here. Because John is he's been his dotage. He's turning into kind of a contrarian sort of dude. Not that I would ever say that. Maybe he can answer me or Greg, a sports court guy. Why have there only been one person who's gotten all the ballots in the Hall of Fame the first time through? And that, you know who that is, I believe. Plus, you wonder why it would be that guy, other than he was East Coast guy. John, the only one with 100% in the first ballot was Mariano Rivera, who was a terrific pitcher, but he's a relief pitcher, for God's sake.
No, wait a second. Closer.
Okay, closer. Yeah. No, now it's a closer. It's a new spot, right? You can only do the...
It's a little different than, you know...
What's different? It's just the way people use people. I mean, it's...
It depends how you close the deal.
Yeah, well, it's so bizarre. Everybody else, you know, every time a guy changes left to right, you change the pitcher, which you can't anymore. You gotta do three people. But anyway, he's the first 100%. Which is sort of a trick question, because there might have been another guy.
Peyton Manning? Yeah.
There might have been another guy, because some guy was put in by unanimous consent just when all the sports writers were in the room. Who would that be? So everybody assumed that it was 100%, even though there might have been a guy like Flanagan who ducked down and didn't put his hand up. Lou Gehrig, when he died.
Oh, well, yeah.
I was going to say Reggie White.
We're talking baseball.
Was Gehrig posthumous? Was he?
Well, he died before he was in there. Yeah, he died almost. He only died like he only lasted. Man, why don't you look this up? I'm going to say 6 to 9 months after he quit.
Yeah.
That Lou Gehrig's disease is that out of all, point me not being a doctor, but I'm going to say, Jan, that's the only disease I know of that there's never been a survivor. I mean, everything else. There's people that have had stage 4 cancer and somehow, not many, but there's people that had smallpox and survived. And actually, I was reading something in Quora Digest, and I never thought of this. They said, if bubonic plague escapes the Congo again, why doesn't everybody die from it? And one of the reasons, you know, we have antibiotics now and so forth, but one of the reasons was that everybody who's alive today is probably a descendant of somebody who did survive.
Well, how about that?
I never thought of that. Because if you came from Europe or anywhere, really, the whole world pretty much had it. I don't think.
Doesn't that have to apply to everybody though?
Well, I mean, I'm saying that's why. I mean, it took all Europe, right, John? But so, what percentage of people died? Like 60 or 70? It wasn't 100.
Yeah. Same thing with you know in the 14th century too.
Yeah. So that's the reason why, you know, one of the reasons why if it broke out today, everybody wouldn't die. Nobody enjoy it. But anyway, look at some of the names on this list. I'm just going to be a second with this one. How does Hank Aaron only get 97% of the vote? Who the hell voted against him?
Yeah, I'm kind of appalled at some of the results I've seen over the years in, you know, balloting for the Hall of Fame. I have concluded it's kind of like the Oscars, which it's got politics and grudges galore, and it doesn't have as much to do with quality or enshrining real talent as people like to think it does. So
Ted Williams, 93%. Ted Williams, 93%. Who the hell voted against Ted Williams? Mickey Mantle, 88%. Bob Gibson, 84%. Best pitcher I ever saw. 84%. Warren Spahn, 82%.
Jerry Rice.
Babe Ruth, 95%. You keep talking about football. I believe I've got a baseball list here. Because less than 89%. Less than
80%. There must be some bad blood somewhere that, you know, people cannot overcome. So
some
who
people,
knows,
as
knows.
My buddy Bill Murphy tells me, when he was on the board of the Ranch Triangle, it's a community thing where they weren't a special organization or anything. They were just a bunch of homeowners in an area, and they would, you know, if they wanted to put a building up, they would tell the alderman, "No, we don't want that building there." They essentially stopped the 4+1s from coming in our neighborhoods, which those things are so butt ugly, it's scary. But Bill said there was always one or two guys on the board, and I think he said that one of them was Greg Pappas' grandfather.
Said no.
It said no matter what it was, if somebody was going to donate $100,000 for a whole new park, somebody'd say, "Nah, we can't take that." So there was a guy who voted no on everything. Hey, I got a question for you. I was talking to our buddy Dr. Blade yesterday. I was mentioning earlier my travails of my truck, but I try and use everything as a learning opportunity, Jen. So I'm down south, you know, in the old hood, and I go, my nephew's daughter's sick, so he can't pick me up. I asked the guy in the place, I said, "Any chance you can drop me off the Rock Island?" "Oh, no, we're swamped." "Okay, so I can either, you know, try and call Audrey or something and ruin her day, or I can do something intelligent, just hop on the bus right in front of the place, runs right down Kedzie Avenue to the Orange Line, and plus I'll get to see a little bit of America, hopefully not get shot." So I hop on, and it's a middle of the day. Well, not middle of the day, it's like 10:30. And all the people are getting on. You can see people getting on the Pete's Produce, 87th and Kedzie, with three or four bags. And you're getting on a bus with bags. You know, this is tough. Most people can get a ride to the store, but a lot of people can't. So you hop on the bus. The lady gets off at 79. She's taking two buses home, which obviously tells you that if you're observant, there's no kind of store anywhere near her neighborhood, right? Who knows how far east she had to drive or take the bus. I'm going, that's a whole day excursion to go to the store. That's kind of a tough way to live, right?
And, oh, yeah.
But it probably were 10, 12 ladies that got on, and they're all, I'm going to say, I can't tell how old people are. I'm going to say, John, 40s to 50. Every one of them looked like they were in some sort of ill health. Coughing, talking to themselves. They look like they're 70. And some guy gets on, and I don't know if he didn't have a laundromat or what. The entire bus stunk like marijuana the second he walked in the front door. I'm thinking, is this...
Was it good weed or...
Well, it's good weed, cheap, yeah. Good, yeah. Decent weed.
Okay, nice.
But, I mean, is this the health of America? Not one of these people, could you put them in a job tomorrow and have them work 8 hours? A couple of people are talking to themselves. A couple of people are kind of shaken. And they're not 60 yet. I mean, some of them I don't even think we're 50. I mean, I've taken that bus earlier in the morning. Everybody's going to work. It looks a lot different. But how bad is America right now? Do nobody even realize how bad things are? I mean, how bad are they? I guess the question. I don't know. I was just kind of stunned.
Well, I found that getting on a bus or an L, more so than getting on a metro, it's just a little different clientele. You do get a pretty good picture of how bedraggled the population has become. And I can see it in the things you're talking about, just kind of the crazy behavior and the poverty, the way people are dressed, their behavior, which is, part of this whole package of symptoms, where they're just not very happy and clearly not very healthy. And you got to give them credit, I guess, for getting on a bus at least, because that takes some energy and some stamina these days.
Well, if you didn't pay, and the driver just looked the other way.
Well, that's another symptom too. Kind of a recognition that it's been simmering for a long time. I can remember thinking 10, 15 years ago that things were getting rougher. Just the way people behaved in public, the way they interacted or didn't interact. And the kind of behavior, untreated mental illness or, respiratory problems or, just skin diseases, everything else. In my people watching, I'd see things that kind of bugged me. It looked like everybody was on a downward curve. And, of course, it's borne out in the life expectancy, the demographics that we're seeing. This is all part of a larger decline. And, this is, I guess, one saving grace about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has actually, talked about it, that America is very unhealthy, and it's because of the diets that are pushed on people, the pharmaceuticals that they get, get pushed on them, and just general, a lack of spirit. They're beaten down in the economy and the
job
market.
John, this stuff does taste good, though, I gotta say.
And as it should, if they're going to make you eat it or get hooked on it, it's hard to resist. And the food manufacturers are fully aware of that. But it's part of a slide, Tom. I don't know if you would see it the same way, but this is kind of what you don't want to see in a developed country, where people are living shorter lives and the quality of their lives is declining even faster. They don't have a whole lot going for them.
I don't think in this world of zillions of dollars being spent on medical care, and I've known a lot of people, as you get older, people that have issues, and you might have a couple yourself, and you realize that, some of the stuff that has been done to you to keep you healthy, you didn't want to have that 30 years ago or 40 years ago. I mean, there's no question about that. But I think the actual care, the sense that I'll bet not one of those people, and a lot of people I know, by the way, if you were to say, who's your primary care physician, they wouldn't have a clue. They don't have one. I mean, there's concierge medicine. If you want to pony up $1,000 a quarter, there's somebody that will take care of you. But if you're on Medicaid, how the hell do you have a concierge person? I mean, it's pretty rare. Now, a lot of these clinics are actually really good. Okay, you go in there, and the people there, from what I understand, are top drawer. Way better than a hospital emergency room or something. But you got to be. I don't think RFK is wrong in what he's talking about. Now whether they're going to go to the root of the problem, I don't know. I mean, it's sort of like the first 100 days. If they spent the first 100 days lobbing 3 or 4 antitrust things against hospitals and doctors, I'd be much more proud of them than firing a bunch of people I never met. Are there too many people in Washington? Yeah. I don't really want some guy I don't even like with a chainsaw up there making it sound like, everybody getting fired is a scab on the world. I mean, they might be in a department that is done with another department, but they don't know that. All they do is go to work and do something. So there's ways to do things, but even so, we know where the issues are in this country. Are these guys going to have the balls to go after them? Because nobody, up until now, has. Now, if RFK decides to do that, is he really going to get the backing, or the phones start to ring it in the White House and guys that, you know, gave Trump and other people money? And by the way, they gave Biden money, they give everybody money. That's why nobody goes after him. Are they going to be powerful enough to where you're going to find out a month from now that Trump cans RFK? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would say it would take a very lean dog to go after that industry, John, and I don't know how they're going to do it. Because every representative, every Senate's got an envelope in his pocket, and so does the executive branch. So, you know, can you buy your way forever? I don't know. We'll see. But that's where the money is, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, there's been no conversation at all about it, you know, that I can recall. There's something refreshing in just having people, you know, talk about it and listen to what people are saying about it, and think this is long overdue. So it's a kind of a new phenomenon, and the country isn't really used to that kind of freedom. They've been beaten down at the megaphone that these, you know, agribusiness companies and pharmaceutical companies have had. You know, it's got everybody kind of tin ears now. It's been, you know, drummed into them that this is the way it has to be. I detect a kind of shift. I don't want to make any predictions about how long it will take or what the result will look like, but I'm really glad to see it coming up at least as a subject when people talk.
Well, how do you?
It isn't like,
without digging into the politics of it. I mean, Carl, you know, looks at this stuff closer than we do. So when Trump won the first time, that was part of the thing of his platform. And the day he won, it was taken off his website. Now, do you think now he feels he has the balls or he has the backing to do something, or is it going to stay off his website?
Well, I think he's learned a lot since 2016. And clearly the climate that he, you know, came into was so unprepared for that result. And Trump himself, I'm sure, was somewhat unprepared too.
I don't see how anybody could ever be prepared for that job.
Yeah, but just even prepared for winning. I think that this was something that wasn't supposed to happen. You know, to hear Democrats, you know, talk about it, it was the theft of the century. But the climate that he walked into was, you know, unprepared for him. Was really unwilling to make any compromises with him. They had all the cards, and I think to some extent, whatever, you know, Trump had run on, his agenda started to, you know, fray around the edges really fast, and you can see it in some of the appointments that he made and then unmade. The whole, you know, roster of people he tried to, you know, pick from, I think, was pretty much controlled. This was something he, and the people around him didn't know and hadn't had enough experience on the national scene, and certainly not with the Republican Party, who had pretty much frozen them out. So they had very little in the way of an operation that could do battle with the big ones. It's different now.
I think John, it's somehow or other, I was talking this with our psychologist buddy, Dr. Blade, yesterday, and he lives in, I think, was he Vermont or New Hampshire? He's right on the border, one of those two places. And it's sort of a liberal conclave. One thing about living in Chicago is the incredible amount of lawlessness at every level. And I'm not talking about, well, I am talking about people shooting, I guess, but there isn't anybody that doesn't feel like they could go through a stoplight or a stop sign. If you were, and this is where we were talking about, you know, Trump, and he's not a lover of the guy. And I said, you know, Dr. Blade, the Democrats should just have left the guy alone. And instead of everybody trying to make a name for himself to put the guy, because after the second or third or fourth indictment, when you're up to $90 million in legal bills, I don't care who you are, you could hate the guy. I don't think we should be able to do that to anybody, even him. I mean, that's insanity. I mean, you know, and a lot of people are pissed off about the guy in New York dropping the charges, and everybody thinks the guy's a crook. I said, he may be a crook, okay, but nobody can withstand. And look what happened to Blagojevich. Nobody can withstand the entire amount of 30 guys from the federal government trying to put your ass as the trophy on their wall. That's insane. Nobody has the legal firm for that. If the guy isn't a crook, which, you know, I guess maybe he is, I don't know. I'm not in the jury. If the guy is a crook, what do you make as a chair? Say the guy makes $500,000 a year as the mayor of New York, which I bet. Matt, look and see what the mayor of New York gets. I'm going to say he doesn't even make that. If he does, it's close. How the hell, if you were actually straight and that's your salary, how do you defend yourself against the feds? I mean, your entire life savings will be gone the first 3 weeks, isn't it, Chad? With any kind of law firm?
Yeah. And this is a big. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anything about the guy, but everybody says he's a crook. Okay, so he's a crook. I mean, still, there ought to be like, how does defending yourself in this country so far beyond the means of anybody to do it? It's worse than going to the hospital, for God's sake, without insurance. I mean, how the hell, how would you and I, if I was mayor of Chicago, and all of a sudden somebody comes after me and I try and defend myself, how do I go to Schmo, Schmo, and Schmo and get 10 of their best guys, it's $800 an hour, and defend myself? I mean, how am I going to do it?
Well, and as happened with Trump, you know, a lot of the attorneys he was able to get, you know, ruined themselves too.
Well, of course, he's not big on paying people, but that's another story. But he also had other people helping him pay.
But they were looking for ethics violations against the lawyers.
Yeah,
the lawyers were completely cowed. It shouldn't be that you have a situation where lawyers are afraid to represent somebody because their livelihood is on the line. What kind of totalitarian state is that?
Well, we're definitely there. Where if somebody agrees to,
you're right, Tom. That this became evident, you know, very steadily in the last 8 or 9 years, that even if the people who can't stand Trump saw this as a complete perversion.
Oh, I absolutely do.
So according
and
to
had it been simply a duel of the issues, you know, I can't even imagine what that would look like, because the Democrats.
What do you got, man? What do you got for us, man?
According to NYC.gov, Mayor Eric Adams received $258,750 per year.
Yeah. So how the hell does he defend himself in a federal case?
Half of that goes to taxes.
Probably. I bet he gets his ecstasy for free, but who knows? I don't know how you. Well, but this goes back to, Otto Kerner and Jim Thompson, right?
Right. It's the same, petty vendetta, and whoever's got the power can, screw the predecessor and, destroy their retirement, everything. This is preposterous.
Well, you're kind of on the other side of the political camp. When I said to Mark yesterday, he goes, how does the guy not get indicted for the January 6th stuff? And I said, Mark, I'll bet you that if they didn't do any of the other stuff, that the January 6th thing might have been a big deal. But it was like, what, you got another thing against the guy? How many does this make? We got to the point where everybody from Georgia to God knows where is trying to make a name for themselves by doing something to Trump. And people, the guy's not innocent. my views of the man from day one. But the fact is, you can't do that to people. If he walked out and walked through a stop sign tomorrow, people are going to say you're only after him because. I don't see how, John, right now, I mean, if I was going to be a law and order candidate, by the way, believe it or not, even though all we do is argue, I'd have you right by my side. I think, that even in Chicago, when I drive the expressways all the time, idiots with the blacked out windows driving 100 miles an hour, I don't see how I could possibly pull one guy over tomorrow. It would look like I was targeting the dude, because nobody pulls anybody over. I think you'd have to say, hey, look, I mean, I think Trump actually would have to say something intelligent. He'd have to sit there, he'd have to get a Saturday morning in the Oval Office, and he'd have to say, look, we've done a lot of research in the medical community here. Looks to me like hospitals charging people all these different prices depending on how much you can get out of somebody. Not only is it illegal, it's been two Supreme Court things that are against it. Now, rather than go after every hospital tomorrow and picking out the first one and the second one and make an example out of somebody, I'd rather not do that. How about, here we are, March 1st, about, you guys clean this up by June 1st. Otherwise, we're coming at everybody. Same thing, the expressway. All you guys, looks to me like you spent a bunch of dough blackening out your windows when you know it's against the law, and people who blacken them out for you know it's against the law. We're not going to start pulling people over tomorrow. It's now March 1st. You got till June 1st. get the thing within reasonable where it's supposed to be. Doesn't mean you can't tin them a little bit, whatever the thing is. And June 1st, it's going to be a way we're going to pull you over. And oh, by the way, there's going to be a squad in the front, and you're going to get out of the car because we're not coming up there, not knowing if you got a gun inside. And oh, by the way, it's going to be something that we get to search the car. I'm giving you 3 months. After that, it's all on you. We need to do something like that, Jen, because you can't just start pulling one guy over tomorrow. It's so endemic. What if you pulled a guy over tomorrow for going through a stop sign on his bike or scooter? He'd look at you and go, well, who do I look like, Trump? I mean, how could you even do it? But you got to tell
them. They're not going to stop either.
No, but I'm saying you have to sit there and go, this is not the way we're going to live. We're not going to just keep ripping people off in the medical community. We got the Supreme Court behind us. This is not a debate. By June, knock it off. I don't see how else you can do it. Do you? I mean, they probably won't, but at least you got God on your side at that point. I think. I mean, there might be too Catholic here.
Well, if you gave signals that people couldn't ignore it, that the climate is changing and what we've tolerated in the past, we're not going to tolerate. Going forward, this is what's happened with the immigration messaging. After 4 years of denying that there's any problem with the border, now not only everybody knew the border was a mess, but now you've got Kristi Noem and other people telling people publicly, if you're here illegally, you're not welcome here. You've got to get out. And self deportation will make an impact of some kind. I can't say how much, but you've got to make people aware that you are not living in the world you thought you were. This you might have been riding things high for a while when everybody tolerated whatever, and it can't continue. And but when have we ever heard that kind of messaging?
Well, I think in that regard, the message to the Hispanic community, and Trump is good at this, and I honestly despise him because of it, because he is good at it. He actually, the idea that a lot of people that are here and have been here a really long time. I was stunned. I don't know who was on a show maybe a year ago. I talk about being a dummy. I just assumed that if you were here from Mexico or Guatemala or wherever you're from, and you spent 3 years in the Army and an honorable discharge and everything, that you were a citizen. You're not necessarily. I'm thinking, how the... What are we doing there? So I could see where Trump's message to those people that have been here a long time and have a family and have a job and everything else, that aren't citizens yet, I could see Trump's message to those people, hey, these guys are giving the citizenship to the people who just swam across yesterday quicker than you. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't think Trump cares whether it's true or not. But if it was, I'd sit there and go, yeah, why is it? Why are we so slow with the guys that are here? How does a guy serve 3 years in the Army, get shot at, not be a citizen, for God's sake?
Well, it's because, also the military was having trouble meeting its quotas. They were perfectly happy. They did whatever they might promise somebody, we're not going to go after you for immigration violations if you sign up and you have honorable service, whatever else. This is going to give you, an extra chip when you do go to apply for citizenship. But there's no guarantee that those people
What else do you want out of the guy or girl?
Well, I don't think we should be promising that kind of stuff. First of all, I mean, there's no way that mercenaries are a good thing if you're trying to keep yourself as a world power. It's never worked
Some of these people have been living here since they were two or three and joined the Army out of high school, and they're still not citizens. What the hell?
The government uses Blackwater, too.
We probably use the guy... Interesting. Who's the guy that group... What is the Luke question? Maybe Janet. The guy that St. Putin killed. They might blew up the whole plane just to kill the guy. The guy from... Was their group?
The Wagner group.
Are those guys still around? They have a new leader?
I don't know their current status, but...
I bet somebody's still doing it. But, I got to believe places like that... If you're not getting paid, I bet they dissipate pretty quick.
Well, yeah, that's what mercenaries are like.
Well, I was reading
this thing. You feed them and you pay them money, and once that stops, they're going to turn on you.
Well, if I ever have to take a 12-hour plane ride, I don't know why I ever would. I got my reading all set up. It's going to be a whole bunch of stuff on the Revolutionary War. I'm reasonably strong on World War II. not so strong on World War One.
12 hours.
Well, 8 or whatever it is. I mean, better be in first class. Sickness. I hope it's not in steerage. That's for sure. In a middle seat, that wouldn't be good for me or the guys around me. But I'm real weak on the Revolutionary War, and I did read this thing about the Brits. And Brits do this to themselves. They did a survey of all the generals they fought against, and the Brits fought everybody. They were pissing the world off for how many centuries, huh, John? They had a survey of the toughest general they ever went up against in all those different places, and it came back Washington, like all over the place. I just read a little bit about it. The dude was raising money to pay his mercenaries and to steal the other mercenaries if he could. He's getting a volunteer army together. The dude was doing. How does one guy do all that stuff? I mean, you think these people were made of strong stuff, weren't they?
Oh God! Well, yeah, but it was so different time. I mean, from what I've read about the Revolutionary War and how I understand that militias were raised, and it was extremely local. It was kind of a part-time job, and this became really evident in some of the pension files I've looked at doing genealogical research. And they're very well preserved and pretty legible. You can read cursive handwriting. But a lot of these soldiers were, they did 3 months of service in the Connecticut militia and go back home. And they, have money that was owed to them. They could keep some provisions or whatever because they knew they'd be needed again. And they'd get called up again, in a couple months and serve for 3 or 4 months. And, maybe run up a bill, wasn't being paid. They lacked, any kind of power to do anything about it during the war. But afterwards, there was all this negotiation proving where you were from what month to what month, who you served under, witnesses that saw you there. I mean, it became something you can't really tolerate in the National Army today. But we were not equipped to have a National Army then, and it was pretty beyond loosey-goosey. Every state, well, every
Jan,
county,
if you had a farm or whatever, as most people are rural, right? If you had a farm or you're in a small town, during the war, if you paid taxes, who'd you pay them to? The Brits or the Continental Congress? They have the right to tax people, or
the Barbary pirates?
I mean, were people still paying? I'm sure the English, until they left, probably thought that the taxes should go to them. I mean, how did that even work? You have any idea?
Well, it stopped being remitted to the crown, and that was the advantage of having, a distant offshore ruler that didn't have the resources to go in and pick up the tax money and tariffs or whatever, because they were too far away to have it. They were fighting a war in the process too. But my understanding is once there was a declaration of independence and you had the raising of an army and you had fighting going on, that the selectmen in the towns, the county boards and stuff stepped in and assumed responsibility for raising revenue. And it was tough getting people to pay for something like a war, in addition to paying for taxes for roads and everything else. But it was, Britain was pretty much out of it then. And of course, this rankled tremendously because this was a huge loss of income to them.
Well, but you had, the thing started where? At April morning, that was the book. What was it? The first shot was fired where? In
Lexington and Concord?
Yeah. I read the book April morning. But at that time, I mean, Philadelphia, New York, Baltimore were all controlled by the Brits. The people on the regular people who live there, I don't think could stop paying the Brits and say, screw you guys, we're with the guys up in Lexington and Concord, we're not paying you anymore. I bet that was not something you could do easy.
Oh, no, but after, after 1776, even if you disagreed with the war, and even, a lot of people just got out of the colonies and went to Canada or elsewhere because they didn't agree with the idea about the revolution. They wanted to stay aligned with Britain. But the other governments sort of got on board, local governments, such as they were. And you had the House of Burgesses in Virginia, and you had various bodies, legislative bodies, that were chosen by election. And this is a system only a little bit like what we have now, but it's the same concept. And you had the levying of taxes, and you know, administering of funds for the public use. This all changed, you know, dramatically, very quickly, when the U.S. realized the colonies recognized we're now at war with the mother country. We're not giving them any money.
I would think that if you were in an area that was still controlled by the Brits, the Brits came to your house and said, "Where's the dough?"
Well, sure. Yeah. And if you had, you know, lots of you know, double dealers, and you know, it's like Casablanca or something, people working for both sides. And you had the military in on it, you had politicians in on it, so it wasn't a clean break, I don't think at all. And there was still a lot of, you know, spies and networking of people to get some of this money to Britain, and you know, hope nobody would notice it. But it was, you know, I think, from what I understand, it happened, you know, the tide changed, you know, pretty much in the first or second year of the Revolutionary War, when hostilities were, you know, up and running, and the U.S. saw that it had a shot at this. But it wasn't, you know, a total certainty by any means, and I'm sure the Brits didn't think it was a certainty at all. Well, they fully
expected. France sure helped a lot by keeping the British Navy at bay a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No.
Well, I just, when we were talking, I mean, we kind of started this by saying, why all of a sudden now do both sides, and I, you know, like I say, I heard earlier, I was telling Greg that by being in the middle and trying to learn from both sides, I listened to Trump talk and his, you know, getting my whatever group around me. It's the same thing that Brennan Johnson says, just on the other end. What, both sides seem to have this philosophical thing that everybody around them has to think that way. When did that come about, John? I mean, I knew people had spoke differently their whole life and had different politics, and yeah, when they went to school, they were a good teacher. When they went to work, they were a good policeman or a good welder. But what did this? I can't have anybody around who doesn't think like me. What is that story? Are these just people who don't understand our history? Or they? What? Where is that coming from? I don't. It's there both sides, but where is it coming from?
Well, I think, you know, a president should be able to expect loyalty.
To a point. Means, you know, to a point. You swear your loyalty to the Constitution, not to you.
Yes, yeah, but you don't want somebody, you know, who's collaborating with the opposition to undercut your presidency, which is what was happening, I think, in the first Trump administration. And certainly the, you know, the media was working like mad to get him out.
Well, you should be able, if you're a Republican president, you should be able to, and I don't know anything about these generals, you should be able to have a general that votes Democratic, because it doesn't matter. Your goals should be the same in terms of the safety of the country. What's the difference? I mean, there wasn't that much difference in the political parties when you and I grew up. A little bit. I mean, in terms of, was there that much difference between Dirksen and Paul Douglas? I don't think so. Was there that much difference between Chuck Percy and...
They didn't want nobody sent.
That's Chicago.
Well put.
Isn't that the same thing?
That's the world's greatest line.
Isn't that what the same thing is? Trump doesn't want nobody
yeah,
sent.
Yeah, I mean, he just...
Johnson doesn't want nobody.
Well, they both have this remarkable ego that it's homage to them, that they're somewhat different than the regular person.
But Tom, the difference is that Trump has a much stronger claim now than he did before, that he has some kind of a mandate. Brandon Johnson can say whatever he wants. If you're not with me, you got to go. But he's got a 14% approval rate.
Nothing so rankles me more than John than when there's an election, whether it's even an election that's not close, still has, what do you get, 52% of the vote? That's considered like a landslide these days. For somebody to come up and say, this is, they had a Face the Nation yesterday, Republican guy from Utah. And he must have said 100 times, this is what everybody voted for. And I kept saying, how do you know what anybody voted for? They might have voted for him only because he was white. Who knows? You don't know what's in anybody's mind. Decide. You know who claimed he had the mandate was who's the guy who was governor of Illinois a couple times ago? He's still around. Still around for something. You know what I'm talking about, the Democratic guy.
Quinn?
Yeah, he won by like 48 votes, and he said he had a mandate. I'm sitting there. Where did you learn math? What'd you do? Skip third grade? How do you have a mandate when like 90 gazillion people voted against you? And then you're trying to tell people why they voted for you? How do you know what people voted for you? Are you in their mind now?
Well, But I think Krauss got a lot of evidence for the opinion shift in this country that was brewing all during the Biden years about, you know, the craziness with, you know, transsexuals and sports and, you know, DEI up the wazoo that people hated. They were stifled. Nobody would come out and say, "Yeah, you've got a point. That this is getting a little out of control." Even Pete Buttigieg now says, "How did the Democrats think this was ever going to sell with the country?" I mean, I wish he had said that a long time ago.
I think that you could have this would be one man's opinion because this is the way I felt about him. Again, it's one guy. I think Trump won the first time because everybody hated Hillary. And the Democratic Party was so foolish they didn't realize the depth of the hatred there. I wouldn't vote for Hillary if she was the only person running in my town election. As soon as I found out she had trades in her account that weren't hers and kept the money, I don't care. That's a wall for me. I can't do that. So people voted for him because they couldn't stand her. He figured it was...
And also, Tom, that Obama had really soured on people.
I don't disagree. So then Trump is in there for 4 years with some of his antics. And by the way, he did a horrible job with COVID, because maybe everybody would have. And all of a sudden, they voted essentially for Elmer Fudd just to get him the hell out of there. So now Elmer Fudd's in there, and they vote for Trump. I think the last three elections were... I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think people won because they hated the other person more. Now... I can't prove it, and neither can none of these other guys tell me why they think people voted for these people. You don't know. That's the way I voted for them.
When you got Pritzker in the budget address last week, still yelling about, you know, people who voted for Trump, you know, are endorsing Nazism. I'm sorry. You know, does he read newspapers? Does he talk to people outside his immediate family? Where is he coming from? What good is any of that doing these days? But this is what's happened, Tom. If you become so, if, you know, encased in your shell that you think everybody around you is on the brink of going off to the dark side, and I'm going to pull them back, well, you know, that most people don't think in those terms, and they shouldn't. But this is where we've been. Because
I don't disagree. I say for anybody,
if you vote for Trump, it's like Adolf Hitler. You know, it's
no. Well, I mean, it's. I don't like the idea that people are voting against somebody. Now, you know, Kevin just texts in that Trump is this all world guy now because RFK is there and he was a Democrat. The Democrats even want RFK? My point is, I hope the guy, that the people he puts in there are going to do a really good job. I hope that way. But my point is, I got just as much right to say I think people voted for Trump because they hated what's-her-name, as opposed to the guy from Utah. They voted for Trump because they wanted to fire government employees. What are you talking about? What am I talking about? Neither one of us know. I at least admit it, right?
Yeah. Well, I can, you know, say about myself, I voted against so and so. This is a less terrible, you know, scenario.
Yeah,
so and so gets in.
I know. All you know is why you voted, and we know why we each voted because we talked to each other. But how do I know how the guy from?
You got politicians, Tom, telling everybody around them, if you're not with me, that you are evil personified. I'm sorry that. That is not a way of politics.
We started this conversation that I see that on both sides, and I don't like it on either side. I'm saying Brennan Johnson sounds the same to me. That you got to be on board with my whatever the hell it is, and you know, and you got to be on board with Trump's whatever it is. I actually probably a little more on board with Trump's than I am with this guy here. I don't know where he's coming from at all, but you know, you don't have to be. You have to genuflect to do a good job. I don't think. I mean, I hope that it works out. I mean, what do you make of the sell off on Friday? I mean, now we're coming back today, probably 20%. What is the market thinking of all this? I mean, I am starting to believe that some people, with all the hoop, you know, the hellering and hollering about firing all these people in government. Would I ever say that there is not duplication and there's a few people there that we probably have too many people? You know, I've been talking about that as long as you've known me, John. But is that where the real money is? Is that where we would start? Or now, where are we going to go with this? I mean, are we going to do something in healthcare? And my ride on the bus the other day, how bad is the health? The people we want to put back to work, are they employable? I that's all I took away from my ride from the mechanic, is I don't think tomorrow, if he had all the jobs in the world, I don't know. That's why I want to get Dr. Jansen on again. How far away, if somebody's in a homeless camp for a month, assuming they're not on any drugs, how quickly do you lose your ability to show up for 8 hours and work? What if you're on the, you start getting on stuff? What if, I mean, if you're on, you're doing gummies, I guess you're probably okay. I don't know. If you're drinking a pint every night, I guess you can shake that. But what if you're on, you know, Oxy or something like that, or crystal meth? I mean, if it's 2 months, are you unemployable forever? I mean, these are, we need to get, and I actually think Trump might be working in the right direction here. We need to get, instead of 58, 59, 60% of the people in this country employed, we talk about it every Friday with Carl, we need to get that number up to 64, 65. If we don't, no matter what your policy is, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or God knows what, if we don't, I think we're economically we're going down, John, and I don't see how we can't. Do you?
No. And the job numbers, as Carl keeps us well informed about, are clearly telling a story that I think has a lot to do with what happened last Friday, sell-off. I think the people are running out of buying power, and this is translating to a kind of fear that, you know, there aren't enough jobs around, and there aren't enough qualified people to perform them, even if they were there. It's kind of what you're saying. But we don't know just how bad it has been and how long we have, you know, lied to ourselves about it. And if we knew that maybe only half of the population, those qualified, able to work, maybe only half of them are actually employed, and the rest are on some kind of, you know, threadbare relief system, or, you know, a crooked relief system, or they're in homeless camps or strung out on the street, this is something nobody really has a good handle on. And we've been able to misspend trillions of dollars as if we didn't have something, you know, much more dangerous at the center of this that we've completely ignored. And, you know, AI doesn't help. The failing schools don't help. The drug cartels don't help. But the worst thing is not knowing the extent of how bad it is. And I think we willingly or willfully decided the problem is too big to measure, and therefore we're going to pretend it doesn't exist at all.
Well, you know, my bitch about the immigration here, and I don't want anybody flying across the river unencumbered. I also know things are so bad around the rest of the world that the idea that we don't want to take anybody is pretty screwed up, but, you know, how you do that, you know, I'm not smart enough to do it. But I just, in my last 2 days, it's Monday, Saturday, Sunday, yesterday, my brother had a great dinner like he always does on Monday, and his family gets together like we used to do when we were kids at my grandmother's. And my nephew is in the steel service industry. And he goes, they actually hired a couple guys a couple months ago, and the guys never showed up after they had a start date. They could use 5-6 new people tomorrow, maybe 10, because they have pretty good business. Can't find them. Now, I don't know. Now, in Indiana, where Kevin is, they do a terrific job in that for his particular place at training people. And I'm not saying you can't be an executive someday, but for God's sake, these are real jobs. And plus, they're kind of fun working on big machines and stuff. I always thought they were. But the got my admissions tested. I'll bet right now, given what has happened between the Fed and the car companies and the monopoly and whatever it is, I don't think anybody, you might because you guys are kind of contrary dudes, but does anybody not think that having a new car being $60,000 means that just about everybody we know can't afford one, and everybody's going to keep some old jalopy, like it's going to look like a, you know, Havana where they're driving, you know, 53 Buicks with their fifth engine, you know, type of thing. That's where we're headed, John. I would say the Chicago area right now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say 2,000 to 3,000 mechanics are needed, or people would hire. The guy, bring my guy. He's got him and his brother-in-law. He'd be happy to have another guy tomorrow. Maybe not two or three. Maybe not 10, but one. He's got enough business. He probably can even take two. I mean, what? Why aren't people teaching this at Kelly High, Tilden Tech? Nothing says when you're 50 you can't be taking other school at night and be a lawyer or something, right? But for God's sake, right now they're paying $55 an hour to be a mechanic. I mean, that's not bad. I mean, and you can work over. You work Saturdays for God's sake if you want to. I mean, I don't understand.
Well, the automotive program was one of the shining lights at my community college, where I had enormous respect for the guy running it and the faculty that they had. And there were a couple, tenured people who, other people who were adjunct who were, night classes and stuff. But, it really showed me that there's been such a revolution in auto maintenance and the technology and the things that you need some kind of, community college or high school technical program that's continually being updated and reviewed, because it's immensely complicated. And you need people who are, able to meet those standards. And maybe it's one thing to have programs like that that are attuned to how complicated car repair has become. But the other problem is that you got a bank of students coming up through the ranks who don't, know addition and subtraction or percentages or computer programming or anything else, that are completely at a disadvantage in succeeding in a program like that. And those are much greater numbers than they were, say, 20, 30 years ago. So you've got, a failure on the educational system at the larger end of the people coming up through the ranks, K through 12. And then you've got a need beyond that for a kind of specialized training that I think most high schools aren't really equipped to do, in addition to everything else. But everything has been so dropped, in priorities, where you've got people who cannot make up for what they, missed out on, to ever get any kind of, a good paying job in a highly specialized field. And it shouldn't be that.
Sam, what did you guys used to do? I mean, Eric, hopefully he's feeling better, he'll come back on. He taught creative writing at the place over here that's having some trouble. It's
Columbia?
Yeah, Columbia. And he said he had to take a half a course to teach people punctuation and stuff. Now, I wonder, I'll ask Kevin on Wednesday, if they get somebody in one of their courses over there and the dude or lady obviously didn't do, doesn't really have enough remedial math even to start the finance course, did you guys have a fallback class that was maybe 9 credit or something to catch up, or do you just motor ahead like they knew what they were talking about?
Well, we had, there's a whole cadre of developmental math courses and developmental English classes.
Were you redoing grammar school or high school, or were you, like, that's an awful thing to say, but were you essentially teaching fourth grade?
Well, yeah, or worse, or lower. And I mean, I had students who had bypassed that, the testing system. They had succeeded in getting it admitted to a 101 English class. If you hadn't succeeded, you'd have these other developmental classes that didn't count towards graduation credit. So you could take them, and many people took them multiple times and really couldn't ever succeed at them. But even the ones who were able to sit in a 101 classroom because of their test results couldn't tell anybody what the parts of speech were. They couldn't define what a noun was. They didn't know what an exclamation point was for. They couldn't read cursive handwriting.
How long does it take to catch up, or can you?
Well, this is the tidal wave that I was always battling about. There were always some students who were able to do, show tremendous improvement with just a little guidance, something they'd been doing wrong all their lives. You tell them, here's a better way to do it. Maybe you got A's for doing it this way, but you're not going to get an A in my class that way. But here's how you can do it. And they could get with the program and immediately respond and get A's, and earn them justifiably. But there were lots of other students, and an increasingly larger percentage as my years wore on there, who I felt were just not even scraping by. And I never kind of connected enough with them to show them that, they really should care about their writing. They were completely uninterested in working at it. And I know they had other things going on in their lives. This does not make them bad people by any means. I know what they were up against. But they were so badly served in the years before at the various schools they came from where I couldn't do it in one semester, and maybe and no college could do it in 4 years even, to make up for all of that. And you shouldn't have college doing that. That isn't what college is designed to do. And I'm afraid if college becomes free for everybody, as Biden was predicting or wanting, you're going to have a college degree that's utterly worthless. So, but I felt that this is something you can't, like, fix. There's a whole swath of people who are, you know, off on the margins of the economy, and with a long life, you know, of a healthy life, whatever, because they don't have the things that you expected people to get out of, you know, a grammar school education.
What's basic stuff. Listen, we got to dash the break because I think we have Nance. But I'm gonna dig through this with. Now you've got me on a whole new thing, John. You guys send me off on tangents because everything you dudes say opens up a whole different can of worms. Or if no, I can't wait to talk to Kevin. Because if somebody really doesn't know basic math, and you give them even a kind of a simple problem, even in marketing or in finance or something, that has like simple ratios, like PE ratios and things like that. What happens if they don't even know that one is divided by the other and something, something? Or if somebody doesn't know the punctuations and nouns and verbs, can they really read a book or not? How can you?
No, and it's worse, Thomas. They don't have any sense of geography. They don't understand, you know, their locale. They don't understand their state, their country, the oceans, the rivers. They don't know history. They have no sense of sequencing. This person died in this era, and we're talking about the Renaissance now and not the Mesozoic era. It was all the same to them. They had no way of discriminating. World War II happened last week. World War I happened back in the 15th century. They just, the understanding or lack of it for these things that were drummed into me when I was a kid.
Are you saying you're saying you can't really catch up? I mean, or can
no.
you?
I mean, what it means is I don't know how you work at a job where you communicate with the public and take instruction and get home, you know, without crashing into a tree or something or going the wrong direction. I used to wonder how these people get by in their lives, in their marriages, what kind of children are they going to raise. And this is not to beat up on them. They were thought they were probably doing pretty well and did, working as hard as they could, but they were doomed almost from the start.
The flip side of that is if you know the basics, if you know the reading, the writing, the math, you can go from there even if you're 16 like Harry Truman and just read every book in the world, and you can become essentially an amazingly educated person on your own if you know the basics.
Yeah, and he went to what was like a teacher's college for a year or two, didn't he?
Yeah.
We didn't have a...
What do you say, we got a break?
But he could read, and he knew history, and he knew politics, and he knew his state, and he knew, you know...
Well, so why are we spending all this time with all this other crap up through eighth grade instead of the stuff we're supposed to? Which grade did you hate the worst? I couldn't stand fourth grade because all the lady did was want us to do nouns and diagramming sentences and stuff. God, I hated it. But you know what? To this day, it probably was best, you know, some of the best education I had. God, it sucked, though. I'll still say it.
My conclusion is that the years of school, whatever year, high school, whatever, that I hated the most were the ones I also learned the most.
Probably. That's if you just up 30.
Can't say exactly why.
Let's do a real quick break and come back. You hang around. We haven't had Nancy for a couple of weeks, and, man, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
I'll let Nancy talk at the time because I want to hear from her.
So. Yeah, we'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
My Maserati does 185.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. As the figure's up 30, as the figure's up 103, just remember, man, it's not a lie if you believe it, right?
Sounds right to me, yeah.
Go real quick through this. Euro, we had the right-wing group one. So DAX is up 191.9%. FTSE down 7, call that flat. CAC around on 21.2. So other than Germany, Europe's kind of muted this morning. This is after Friday was pretty awful everywhere. Nikkei today up 98.2%. Hang Seng down 136. They were up huge last week. Shanghai down 6. And Hang Seng is 23,341. I think we ducked under 17,000 in the middle of last year. So these guys got a big run up since then. Bonds up 2 basis points, 444. The Bund up 2 basis points, 248. Japan up down 1.42. Oil still 70.26, down 14 cents. Can't go anywhere. It's got to be boring as hell trading oil. Brent down 10 cents, 74.33. Gold was down this morning. Now it's up 12.20, 29.65. Still can't quite make it to 3,000. Keeps trying to make a run at it. Silver down 7 cents, 32.94. Copper down 2 cents, 4.53. The euro is actually up a hair to 104, but it's still right about the same spot. Same thing with the pound, 126.4, so it's been pretty quiet lately. Friday, again, a disaster Friday, 7.48 down in the Dow, 104 in the S&P, 4.38 down the NASDAQ. So even though we're up 107, it's, you know, it's a quarter of that. So we've got a ways to go if we're going to get that back. Crypto up 229, 95,989. What do you got for us? Quick traffic, weather, sports. Hawks, Bulls, all they do is lose.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. It's currently 7:40 a.m. on February 24th, 2025. As far as weather in Chicago, 41 degrees at Midway and 39 at O'Hare. High of around 57 today. Wow, with a partly sunny sky. Tonight, scattered showers and a low of 35 degrees. Meanwhile, down in Phoenix, Arizona, 50 degrees right now. Expected to be very warm with a high of 85 and lots of sunshine. Now, in the NHL yesterday, we saw the Blackhawks lose to Maple Leafs. That was 2-5 was the final score. And, of course, in the MLB yesterday, it was spring training for the Cubs down in Arizona. They ended up winning against the Rangers, 6-5. That's all I got, Chief. Back to you.
I can see you out there spring training, booing dudes and drinking beer, you know.
That sounds fun.
Do we have
Why
Nancy?
Not? We do indeed, yeah.
Nancy, how are you? Back from vacation. How was Florida?
Flowers are growing. It was great. It was great to see that.
Did you miss your little puppies?
I did. I really did. Really did. Riley was on camera. Riley looked like he was really growing every day. I'd say, "Oh my God, Riley's getting so big." And when I got home, Riley was just a puny little thing he was when I left. So.
God, Jan, Nancy has two terrific dogs and calm and real nice. Then she decided she needs another one and. She got the wild little guy, the wild child. He's cute, but boy, he's got energy.
He does have energy. I agree with you.
Just saying, doesn't make him bad, but he's nonstop. Anyway.
He's a handful.
So, Nance, what's going on in the world? A couple of things, another building or two gave up down here, right, Jan? And now they didn't somebody say that they're thinking of tearing down the White Castle building? I think it can't be more than 25 years old.
Yeah, 311 South Wacker.
So what's going on in retail stuff? Then you'll see headlines once in a while that January is a lousy month for mortgages. They're talking first times, they're talking refi. I mean, what's your view of the world?
Well, I thought it was interesting when you and Jen were talking that you're saying that, you know, a person possibly can't afford a $60,000 car. I just think that the attitude on that is that people today don't look at it as a $60,000 car. They just look at it as a $400 car payment. And that's how it goes. So
for the rest of your life.
But that doesn't matter to them. It just matters that it's $400 a month. So it's all about the mindset I see going is all about cash flow. It's not about when do I ever pay it off or can I ever pay this off. It's just about what is it going to cost me monthly. And if I can afford it monthly, then I can afford to do this.
Well, there's a certain sense to that. I mean,
there is, but in talking about going to school and learning, I mean, when we grew up, we learned that, you know, you should look at the cost of things and then what are you really paying for it when you pay for it over time. And that's, you know, just something that's not being taught in today's society. So it's just all about cash flow. So people are in the monthly money that people are spending, it doesn't become a problem till you can't really pay it off or you don't ever see it going down when you start maxing out your credit cards. And I see more of that starting to come on now. Absolutely.
Well, the credit cards are the fallback position, but they're 25%. That's a problem, or 30, or whatever they are.
Well, not if they can make the payment. But let's say your limit is on the credit card is 20,000, and you're at 21, and you've got three or four of those, then you start feeling the heat because you can't buy anymore, and your buying power goes away. So now I'm starting to see that happen where people are calling saying, you know, I want to refinance my house and they're at like 3%, but then they're saying, well, I have to get this new rate of maybe like 7 or whatever that number is going to be because they can't balance out paying the credit cards anymore and they can't purchase anymore.
So it's no longer, you and Audrey have talked, and Jan, for years now, really, that the people who can't go get a mortgage at 7 because theirs is at 3, but now what you're saying is it's shifted from, it's not that 4% difference, it's a difference between 7 and 25 that's the problem.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would you have guessed that, Jan? I did not make that mental flip, did you?
Well, that's wow.
So because their buying power is gone. Where they had the credit cards, they could still purchase whatever it is they needed. And I'm talking, it could be as simple as groceries, or it could be jewelry, it could be anything. I'm just saying it could be anything, right? But when you start getting maxed out on the credit cards, and then you go open another one, well, you know, your minimum payment on $20,000 might be $485, $520. And then you got a car payment for $400, and then you got a lease payment for $600. I mean, it starts adding up. And they have nowhere to get credit anymore. That's when the phone starts ringing for stuff like that. And I'm starting to see some of that coming.
What is the difference between if you get somebody a new mortgage, when I say you, in the industry you're in, you're going to... What are you getting them now? 7.125, 6.75. Where are you?
Last week the rate was right around 6.875, right in there.
Okay, so you're let's just say round it and say 7.
Okay.
So, I wonder what the break even is of how much you got to drag over on your credit card. Now, Jan, this is what we've been talking about. How many people can even do this math to figure out, okay, the difference between 3 and 7, that's 4% on $200,000, but I'm picking up 18% on $60,000. Where's my break even? Could they even do that math, Nance, or no?
No, they're not interested in that. They're just interested in getting the pressure off so that if they can let's say for them it increases their monthly payment maybe $300-$400 a month. You got to remember they were paying, you know, $400 to $500 on four credit cards across the board.
What I'm saying, but there is a break even there.
$2,000 minimum payment down to $400 less. They don't go any further than that time. That's where it ends. The thought process doesn't go any further than that. It's just to them, they have $1,600 back in their pocket.
That is scary because there is a break even there, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to take it, but that's not even the issue anymore. It's just about how do you get people out of debt. There's also this thing about you can go into forbearance forbearance would be a good word. Like if you lose your job, you can call and tell them that, and they'll put you on hold for 6 months until you can get back up on your feet. And but some people, and this started during COVID, so some people are still trying to do it. And the and when I say still trying to do it, I'm sure there's legitimate times that people have run into this, but when you're doing it 4 years in a row or 5 years in a row now, you know, they're starting to say, no, we're not going to put you in it. They are taking some of those people and giving them a modification where they add to the back of your mortgage, but they are changing the rate. So if you were at, let's say, 3.5%, they may say, okay, that's fine, we'll do a modification, but your entire, what, the 3.5% rate is totally going to be gone and you're going to pay 7%. And that may be $300 more a month, but we really, it's either take it or leave it.
What is the difference in rate generally between what you can get a new mortgage, you just said a little under 7%. What if I keep my 3% and I go to bank and get a second mortgage? What am I paying on a second mortgage?
Prime plus, whatever they decide, prime plus a half, prime plus 1.
Well, it's going to be more than 7%, right?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
But I mean, it's not 15%, is it? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I just lent somebody some money, and it was prime plus 1, so that would have been, like, in the 9% range. I only have to pay interest, so I went and opened a new line of credit, and I got a introductory rate of, I think, 6.74%. So you're going to prime is higher. I'm not sure what it is today, but
why is prime no longer prime? When did that all change?
Prime is prime, but the banks have added because of how low the interest rates went back in 2007, 2008. All the home equity lines of credit, which is what your second mortgage would be, is based on prime plus something, and there's a floor in there. In other words, if prime goes to 2, you're not going to get 2. It's got a floor of like 4, 4.5, or 5. So these home equity lines of credit that people were getting for 2% and 3%, where they only had to pay the interest, that really was a good deal. No one ever expected rates to go that low. So all of that has changed, and those loopholes have been closed.
Why can't we, maybe this is a giant question, why can't we keep definitions the same? When I was very young, I was young at one time, Nancy may not believe that, but when we went to the bank, prime was the lowest rate the best person got.
Yeah, you kind of rubbed your chest. Yeah, me good.
I'm gonna say that Johnson & Johnson, General Motors, they went under, they got prime. Pullman was, they were the oldest company in New York Stock Exchange. They were prime plus a quarter or something. And then all of a sudden, everybody had to be prime, and then of course, if you were a big guy, you got prime minus. And now, there's no way on earth in the old definition of prime that somebody was getting prime plus a point for a second mortgage on a house. Prime would have been way less than that.
Yeah, no, it's really changed, but it's all about, you know, the way you look at it is, can I make the payment, and then, you know, for how long? How long can I do this for? How long can I sustain this? So you really have to be careful when people call what you're saying, because I remind them, if you use these credit cards, are these expenses gone that you used them for, or are they still going to be there? Because then how are you going to pay them the next time, because we're pulling all the equity out of the house to pay this. So if you're short every month, why are you short? you know, can you buy down? That's another problem. I mean, if you have someone that's got a mortgage, let's say a $300,000 mortgage at 3%, and they say, okay, you know, we have these expenses, and then you want to buy down. So let's say they sell it, and they now get a new house, and the mortgage is only going to, they're only going to borrow $200,000. Well, at 7%, there might be not be a difference between those two things.
That would be a that would be a horrible
monthly dollar wise.
That would be a horrible trade to do that, to find something smaller paying the same amount.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I don't. It's a tough situation we're getting into. But to get back to your conversations, because I've been on since 7, people haven't been taught to look further down the road to anticipate what's coming next. I mean, to think that you would go from 300 to 200 and think you're doing the right thing, let's say maybe you're saving on the taxes, but in the end you're going to be in the same situation because it's still a monthly overspending deal. Because it's really the car loan that's putting you over, or the lease payment, or you know what I'm saying? Because they never really look at that and say, I'm spending $60,000. They just look at it that I'm spending $4,800 a year on that expense.
Some of the stuff in the car zone, Nance, is not my first job after school was at Allied Van Lines. I was an agency consultant. I wasn't a mover, but I wouldn't have been smart enough to be a mover. Those guys, I knew what they were doing. Some of the place had all kinds of young ladies working there, and they'd get a raise, and I finally shut up quick. You know, I had to, because and they got a new car. What do you think of my new car, Tom? And I go, it's really nice. Kind is. How much you pay for it? I don't know. How much your old one? I don't know. I got the raise. I told the guy, the old one's looking pretty shoddy. I like this new one. Guy goes, how much you paying on the old one? You know, $180 a month. If I can get you in this one for 2.25 a month, oh yeah, I'm getting a $150 a month raise. I can handle that. And she is. And she's happy. And I'm going, she's happy? Just let her go. I mean, it's like,
well, and this is just the way it's going. It's not intended to be this way, but if you don't ever learn it when you're younger, how do you pick up on it now? And then you're making decisions based on what you're being sold, which is and they really do sell cars by, you know, how much you're going to pay per month.
Well, how much of the normal client...
Not about what the price of the car is.
I mean, you know, I mean, obviously Odd's in the real estate stuff, and I always stay out of it totally because she's good at it, and I do nothing but screw up. But, you know, you hear bits and pieces when she's on the phone and so forth. It's astounding how much education in basic math she's doing to people on the phone. No, this, if you do this, this is how much. Oh, by the way, don't forget, you got to pay an attorney. You got to get an appraiser. I mean, it's like, now granted, people don't do it every day, so they're not going to know it like she does. But how much of what you do is just teaching people the basics all the way through? They don't even know what they're doing.
Hey, Tom, I get calls from one end to the other. Like, I got a call when I was on vacation about someone who wanted to buy a $520,000 house, wanted a pre-approval. And this, to make the story short, because I know we're going to be out of time, I mean, he had lost his job in September of 24, doesn't have to go back to making payments until March of 25. Went to school, re-educated himself, learned how to be a truck driver, that's fine. Got an interview for a job and the day before he called me, and then feels that, you know, he's going to make enough to buy a $520,000 house. He has no money to put down and he has no intention on selling his first house. He's going to rent that out.
Say what? How's that going to work?
Well, and he didn't want me to pull his credit because he said he's got to come out of forbearance before he thinks his credit will be better. Now, there's all kinds of unwritten rules in underwriting these loans that would not allow him to have it for, you know, a multitude of reasons, but that's not the way he looked at it. He looked at it that he's going to be able to make so much per hour and you know, if all he was worried about was this could be a monthly payment for this, and this could be this, and he was just shocked when I told him this probably really isn't going to work, and was just shocked.
Yeah, and this is where she tells us he's also going to buy a new Peterbilt for $175,000. He's going to be away from home 90% of the time, living in the truck.
No, but I'm just saying, it's but this is not an unusual phone call. And when you start backing it up.
Have you seen any kind of trend in when people come in to apply for a loan and you look at what they owe? Is there any kind of pressure, whether it be, say, student loans or credit card, you know, debt, an existing mortgage or a lease or whatever, that something is pushing these people closer and closer to being unable to qualify for the loan they want? Is there something that's really eating into their cash flow?
It's a combination of all of it, John. I mean, the credit cards are, I had another one the week before where, let's say the man owes in his mortgage maybe $125,000, but he owes $180,000 in credit card debt.
How do you even get credit cards to up you that much?
They just keep opening new ones. I mean, most people have a $20,000 limit on their credit cards, and they're all maxed out, which is forcing the credit score down, and it's just you have to pick your lane that you want to be in. But my lane with him was, we have to talk about these credit cards because your score is going so far down that you're not going to qualify for anything. You've got a short window here to pull the equity out of the house and get these credit cards paid off. But whatever has driven them up, if that reason is still out there, your safety net is going to be gone.
If I have six credit cards and I'm right at the number, say I got, how do I manage to get six with $20,000 down? But if I'm at 120, what possessed the seventh person to give me a card? What are they, some kind of moron or what?
No, it doesn't. Tom, I can't answer that because that's not. I mean, that is just something I see happening. John's asking the question. You're like, what? What do you see happening? And it's going to be the credit cards that are going to, but. It's unsecured debt, so do you want to take this unsecured debt and then take your asset that is secured and transfer them over? It's another thing people should think about. Or do they just want to declare bankruptcy while they're in the house they're in? I don't know.
Well, I'm hoping you're getting some people that actually are getting mortgages, aren't you? Don't you have a few of those?
Yeah, no, I do. But I mean, we're just talking about education and what a role it plays in your life. I wish they would just kind of teach practical courses that are, you know, like in Israel you have to go through the army. Maybe everybody has to go through practical life courses for 1 year.
Well,
and
I know,
you can't get out until you pass.
Well, I know I've had a couple people, and we got a dasher that younger people, John, they're like 32, 35, have a real nice job, you know, and have been, you know, we're not talking about people that are, you know, not working or sitting on a sofa, and they still cash their checks to the currency exchange or the bank account. And then paying to cash their checks. And Walter's like, what are you doing that for? What do you mean? That's what we've always done. Well, yeah, but the bank doesn't charge you. By the way, you're not going to get mugged. You have a direct deposit or something. It's stunning. I mean, we got a lot of work to do, Jan. We got to, hopefully, we'll stop fighting right and left and actually do some of it. Is there a chance of that or no?
Well, I'm praying.
Yeah, no kidding. Nance, thank you. We haven't seen you. Obviously, you've been on vacation.
Yes.
Haven't seen John. We're not sure what that's all about. But one of these days, why don't we maybe get together? Plus, the weather's better, too, eh? It's not like it's 5 below 0 every day.
I wasn't here for the 5 below.
Yeah, you were gone at the absolute wrong time. It was pretty nasty.
Yeah,
anyway, S&P futures up 32. NASDAQ futures up 117. We hope this hangs in there. We don't want another day like Friday. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.
Good luck with your layoffs, all right? I hope your firings go really well.